Will you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, as much as it feels good to be in a robe, think about the poor people in the 8th century when that modern technology of organ music was introduced. And think of those poor people for whom had modern technology of stained glass windows introduced. God is a God of all ages. And that means God is a God of today. But sometimes we miss that. Anne Voskamp writes this story. Straight up, the guy just liked the frame. $4. That's all this guy had to dig out of his wallet at that flea market to buy the old, odd picture frame. He handed over the $4 and frankly didn't care one whit about the painting. A dismal little country scene dabbed across a grimy, torn canvas with a signature that he couldn't even make out. It was the gilded, ornate frame that caught his eye. The flea market seller took his $4 with absolutely no idea. With not the faintest idea that the frame and painting were not all what you'd think. When the guy got home, the crudely made frame pathetically fell apart in his hands. Unsalvageable. But when it fell apart, there, between the slashed canvas and the wood backing of the crumbled frame, was this crisp, folded-up piece of paper the size of a business envelope. He unfolded it slowly, ran his finger across the inked calligraphy. It couldn't be what it read, or was it? When a friend who collected historical memorabilia dropped by, he took out the crisp piece of paper and laughed a bit when his friend shook his head, mouth agape. Well, what do you think? Get it appraised. Turns out that folded up piece of paper that had fallen out between the torn canvas and falling apart frame was printed by John Dunlap on July 4th, 1776. Turned out that it's one of only 500 copies of the first printing of the Declaration of Independence. Turns out only 23 copies are known to still exist, of which only a mere 2 were privately owned. And then this one, a flea market find. That copy was auctioned off on June 4th, 1991, and when the gavel finally sounded sold, the $4 flea market frame had become a $2.4 million find. And that's not the only time it happened. Stan Caffey, a pipe fitter, bought a copy of the Declaration of Independence at a yard sale in Donelson Hills, Tennessee, in 1996. He nailed it to the wall of his garage. He thought it was a dime a dozen dollar store copy. Not everything is what you think it is. After 10 years of hanging on the wall of his garage, Stan's wife took it to the Music City thrift shop in Nashville. When Michael Sparks bought it, it cost him a whole $2.48. Turned out to be one of 200 official copies of the Declaration of Independence that John Quincy Adams commissioned in 1820, which turned out to be sold in an auction for $477,650. When Stan heard, all he could say was, "I'm happy for that Michael Sparks guy. If I still had it, it would still be hanging here in the garage, and I still wouldn't know it was worth all that. But can't help but feel not very smart." Turns out, you can have in your possession an actual Declaration of Freedom. An actual declaration of God's best for your life. And you could send it right out of your life. You can think you know what to think, and it turns out it's not what you think. Like having an exorbitantly valuable declaration of freedom in your hands, but not thinking that you do. Christianity is not what you think. More than going to heaven when you die, it's about dying with Christ now so that you can live eternally beginning now. Christianity is more than you think. It's more than performing a good life. It's about Christ performing an entirely perfect life for you so you can live the abundant life in its entirety. Christianity is more than you think. It's more than going through the motions. It's about letting Christ touch the heart of your emotions and going through life with Him. And the way that you do that is with the people around you. I believe that you and I have been given a treasure that you may or may not know of. And it's not some lottery. How many people bought a ticket? Just couldn't resist. Good, because we'll have confession later in the service. What it is that we have that is a treasure woven into the fabric of the universe that we may or may not be aware of is this: fellowship. I believe that we don't see the beauty of the people around us. We don't necessarily see God's image in the people that are nearest to us. We don't walk closely enough with Jesus to notice them. We miss the treasure of the people in our lives, whether they're at work, whether they're at church, whether they're at home. And we take them for granted, and we get annoyed by them, and we think of relationships as not much more than a nuisance some days. And it's no wonder that so many of us are wondering, what on earth am I here for? Here's the problem with that. God treasures relationships. God, the creator of all that is, God who is your next breath, treasures relationships. God is love. God's very nature is relational. And if there are things in your life and fabulous activities in your life that are taking you away from relationship, watch out. God identifies himself in family terms: Father, Son, and Spirit. The Trinity is full and complete and perfect. It wasn't like God was sitting up somewhere before anything was created saying, I'm lonely, so I'm going to create some animals and some people and a universe. God was fully complete to overflowing. And it's the overflowing part that is why we are here. God, the three in one. God has never been lonely. He didn't need a family. God desired one. And when we put our faith in Christ, we become born again. Born into what? Into God's family. And I believe even the people who are far from God are longing for this family that they may never have heard of. But they just don't know that there is a treasure nailed in their barn. There is a treasure that they are fully unaware of. They need someone to come alongside them to help interpret life, to help them say sometimes you need to get it appraised. That's what people are longing for today. A fellowship, a joy divine is how the hymn goes. It's the number two reason you and I are put on earth, for fellowship. Notice the verse at the top of your outline, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Would you read it with me? It's also on the screens. God is the one who made all things, and all things are for his glory. He wanted to have many children share his glory. That's what God did. God wanted a family, and that's why we're here. God wanted children. Look at the next verse. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now get this. The entire Bible From Genesis to Revelation, talk about a document of freedom. The entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is the story of God building a family, an eternal family, bringing us to Himself. You and I were made to last forever with God. The definition of fellowship is this: fellowship is loving God's family. Church is more than a building. It's more than a service. You remember the old thing you did when you were a kid in Sunday school? It's what? The people. People. Open the doors and there's all the people. Jesus said it. John 13:34. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Think about what that phrase means. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's fellowship. That's authenticity. That's what I want this church to be known for. Not the beautiful surroundings, the great worship, for the fellowship of love. That's authenticity. The truth is, in God's family, there's four levels to fellowship. Today, we're going to look at each one briefly because you and I were made for it. The first level is this: membership. The first level is choosing to belong. Choosing to belong. That's the most basic level. That means you find a church family and you choose to get connected to it. And this may be the step that some of us here this morning are needing to take next. Paul writes it, you're members of God's very own family. You belong in God's household with every other Christian. Now, I know today, membership is unpopular. And you know it. You've heard people say it. It's kind of like the, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. You hear some people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to belong to any church. That just doesn't make sense. That's like saying I'm a football player, but I don't want to be a part of any team. It's suspicious. Well, okay, he's a football player. Is he a player or just a poser? It doesn't work. And here's why. The Bible tells us this in Romans 12, verse 5. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Membership is a Christian word. It's in the Bible. We think of being a member like going along with clubs and organizations, signing up for this, joining that, like Fred Flintstone and the Water Buffalo Lodge. But originally, the meaning was right here in Scripture, this document of freedom. We are members of the body of Christ. Just like your hand or your ear is a member of your body, that's how tightly we are tied to each other, or not. It's up to you. The second level of fellowship is a bit deeper. When you get a little further into the family of God, and this is learning to share. I call this the friendship level, learning to share. Acts 2, verse 44 says, all the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. Do you ever see people who have really deep friendships, long-term friendships, like 20 or 30 years, and you go, man, how lucky they are. Don't you admire that when you see that in people? I love the fellowship of this church for that reason. But I'd say to you, it's not luck at all. It's a choice. You develop friendships. You choose to develop friendships by making time for them. Do you know why most people today are lonely? They don't make time for friendships. We share experiences. We share our homes. We even share our problems. That's what friends do. It's one of the things I think that we need to share more of. And the one out of experiences and homes and even problems that I want to mention just briefly is our homes. The Bible says we're to share our homes. Have you opened up your home to anyone lately? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 says straight up, open your homes to each other. And they're not just talking about to your children. One of the reasons we keep saying get in a home group is because it's biblical. It's the difference between having someone in your formal living room and hanging out with them in the kitchen, talking about stuff. Most of us oftentimes meet somebody at the door. It doesn't say share your homes if they're beautiful. It doesn't say share your homes if the kids' bathroom is cleaned up. It just says share your homes. One of the greatest resources, one of the greatest investments that we make with our lives is our homes. One of the greatest tools for sharing the love of Christ is right there in our homes. Invite someone in. Sit at the counter with them. Just have a cup of coffee. Have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. There's something so charming about that. You don't have to whip up a 5-course meal to do it. Invite someone in. Even today, Elsie, Mrs. Robert Sly, and I... Did you catch that in the bulletin? Mrs. Robert Sly and I were talking about this earlier this week when we were sort of designing or trying to remember everything that went into a good old school church service. And she said, you know, one of the things we need to tell everybody is to have them back to their houses after church, because that's what we would do. How many people took a Sunday drive after church? How many people had some nice dinner after church? How many people's folks or grandparents had people over, had you over? Oh my gosh, wouldn't that be awesome if we could get to that? Spot somebody. They know it's unplanned. They know I'm putting you up to it. But have them over, even if it's for Lipton's baby noodle soup or grilled cheese, and see what doesn't happen when you do. It could be the best thing you do all year. And it's why we call our small group discipling ministry home groups. Everybody needs a home away from home. We want this to be your spiritual home away from home, but you need a couple more along the way. So there's the membership level. There's the friendship level. And then the third is this, partnership. Partnership is doing my part. Sometimes when someone comes into me with a great ministry idea, I say, let's be partners in crime on this one. And let's work on this together. You know, too many churches are full of spectators. Partnership is realizing that you've got a contribution to make. I loved during last Sunday because, you know, Mike McCullough had some heart trouble. We've all been praying for him and he's doing great, but he can't shovel. Remember the snowstorm last week? I loved that there were people who saw the sidewalks and grabbed a shovel and said, we got to clear these sidewalks. And it just happened. I was so upset at myself because after the benediction at the first service, I wanted to say, anybody who's able, grab a shovel. But you know what? I didn't even have to. Because so many people understand this level of fellowship, turning a light off, helping put tables away, cleaning up in the kitchen. That's partnership. You have a contribution to make, and I'm not just talking about cleaning up around the church. You have been given gifts and experience and knowledge that this body of Christ is hungry for. This family of God needs you in its fellowship at this partnership level. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40 says this, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. That's Jesus talking. I encourage you to make this a practical action step this week. If you want to experience a deeper level of fellowship, look for a practical need around here, in your home group, with someone you know from this congregation. Just some practical thing. It could be taking a meal. It could be calling them up for coffee. It could be making sure they have salt for their sidewalks. Find it and meet it. And watch what it does for your fellowship, because that's what you are put on earth here for. Do you know this banner comes from, who it comes from? Archie Woods, because his company that he leads makes banners. So he does this for our congregation at cost. That's fellowship. See what it does. Finally, the deepest level of fellowship in the family of God is what I'm calling today kinship. Now, when I say kinship or kinfolk, some of you think this, Jed, Beverly Hillbillies, right? The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there. First thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. That's not what I'm talking about. Kinship literally means your closest relationships, your closest family, as in notify the next of. Yeah. Kinship is the deepest level of fellowship. It is loving believers like family. Your close, loving family. Imagine having people completely committed to you. We want that for you. And if you are here and you let us, we will love you. But boy, it'll sure help if you plug into a Sunday school class or a Bible study or a home group. That's how you let this church love you best, or a ministry or a mission team. Kinship is what children need to thrive as they grow. People completely committed to them. I love that my daughter, Joy Hook, who's in the congregation this morning, thinks that she owns the church here. I love it. I love it when my children raid the fridge. Frank Schramm doesn't love it so much. But they know to stay on the left side. I tell them, you can't do that. That is not your food. I love it that the Woodards skibble down the hallways. And I remember my choir director hearing an older lady who was responding to someone upset that the children, us kids, were running down the hallways. And this older lady said to the one who was upset, why'd they make them so wide? That's kinship. Kinship is when everybody else is suffering, going through hard times, you don't walk away. You don't say, oh, I wonder what they did wrong. Why are their children having issues? Why are they having issues? Suffering, hard times, is included in kinship. How do you know that you've reached this? By standing with other believers when they're going through a crisis. When everybody else walks out, you walk in. You're there for them in the tough times. Friends, this is what life is all about. Loving God, loving people, loving one another. Some of us have had this incredible treasure for all our lives because we knew that's what church is supposed to be. And you've poured yourself into it. Some of us have had this incredible treasure, but we've treated it like it was worthless. We didn't know. And so I want to say, church, stop blowing this off. Take the time. Pick up the phone. Go for a visit. You know, it seems so awkward now to drop by somebody's house, but if you're the one there, it's the best feeling, even if it's a terrible time and you can't invite them in, to know, hey, I was just driving by. Make up an excuse to get over there to somebody's place. And see what happens. Take the time. If you miss this, you've missed one of the greatest purposes for your life. It sounds dire because it is. It's that true. Because life is not about accomplishments. It's about relationships. Steve and I have both been at bedsides of many people as they were dying. And in all of these situations, we have never heard anybody say, bring me my diplomas. I want them close to me. I can't even find mine. People don't say, bring me my trophies. Nobody says, bring me the gold watch I got at retirement. Nobody says, bring me my gaming system or my money. It's in those final moments that you learn what's really important in people's lives. You learn what matters most. People near death see things clearly many times. And what do they say? They say, bring me my family. Bring me my friends. Let me see them. I hope that you discover it now. Don't wait. Discover it now. And build into other people as best you can. Bring them in to your heart. Go for the visit. A year ago, our family vacationed in Florida. We stayed at a church member's parents' place. And the best day that I had was a day that took 3.5 hours to drive to. And it was to visit Jim and Jeannie. And I was like, oh, if it's 3 hours, I'd do it. If it's 3.5, I just don't think we want to do that in this 1 week that we have. But we went out there and visited them, and they took us out on their boat, on Bob's boat, which I'd never been deep sea fishing before, and it was the best day. But we almost missed it. I think there's some of us that are on the cusp of some of the best days of our lives that we are missing because we haven't taken the time for fellowship. I hope that you discover fellowship and the next level of it as you go from here this morning. And you begin to fellowship as God intended, because life is all about love. Don't miss that treasure. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know, Heavenly Father, next to salvation, the greatest gift you've given us is the opportunity to be a part of your family. Lord, thank you that we don't have to go through this life disconnected and isolated. Lord, many of us are there, though. And so I pray that you would help us go out, even at our loneliest, and to seek out a friend or someone else who's in need. God, thank you for creating this Dexter family for all of us. And Lord, I want to be a part of your family, and I want to learn to love my spiritual family just like you do. God, forgive me for taking it so casually, for not checking in with anybody during the week. Lord, I want to grow in the levels of fellowship today. I'm choosing to belong. I don't want to float around anymore. Lord, I'm choosing to learn to share and to make time to develop real friendships. Lord, I'm choosing to do my part around here in this family of God. And Lord, I'm choosing to love other believers like brothers and sisters. So God, teach me the meaning of real love, I pray. And I look to you, Lord Jesus, our treasure here on earth, to help. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.